This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Assuming, I suppose, that those debt limit talks make acceptable progress, President Biden scheduled to be in Japan at the end of the week for the G7, where economic coercion may well wind up being the phrase of the week. It's a key complaint of the G7 and its allies about how China is reacting to countries that cross it. Marketplace's Lily Jamali explains what's going on there.
There's a long list of commodities that have been subject to this so-called economic coercion, says Matthew Reynolds of the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Salmon in Norway, bananas in the Philippines, canola in Canada, Shiraz.
China's halt on these direct imports can last a few years, sometimes less, but while they're in place,
they are costly to the sectors and the firms that are targeted.
Reynolds says one solution could be a compensation fund led by the U.S. for those firms and their home countries. China, for its part, dismisses the idea that the way it does business is a problem and has pointed to the way other G7 countries use economic and military coercion. Susan Thornton is with Yale Law's Paul Tsai China Center.
The Chinese see this as unfriendly action, part of the U.S. containment strategy.
But Thornton says the G7 simply stating its support to affected countries and their business interests might be enough of a signal. Gennady Goldberg is a U.S. rate strategist at TD Securities.
If I am a manufacturer and I have deep exposure to China, it would certainly make me think twice about investing in additional capacity.
But whatever the final document or communique that follows the G7 looks like, David Dollar, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution's China Center, says don't expect China to be called out by name.
You've got dissent within the G7 about how to deal with China.
And he says that's going to limit what they're willing to say. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.